So in April, we'll be focusing in on gratitude, gratefulness, and its impact upon our lives in ways that sometimes we forget how important it is to reflect gratitude. And I know even for worship, there can be times when we come to it, it's not an easy process. And not all worship is about gratitude. Sometimes it's mourning, lamenting, seeking forgiveness. But yet at the very heart still is this sense of gratitude and celebration. Sometimes we come into worship and frankly, we just thought that the coffee and the robe and just relaxing would have been a good way to start this Sunday morning, but you're here. Or maybe you're online and you make the effort that way as well. But I get it. Sometimes there's reason. We're struggling. We're skeptical. We're frustrated. We're wondering, is it relevant? What's the place of worship and gratitude in our lives? Maybe our lives are just so busy, it's hard to even separate the moment. My hope is today that we'll explore the meaning and purpose of grateful worship and what it means to the vitality of our lives. But I get it. Sometimes it's hard. I've shared the story before about the man who wanted to sleep in on a Sunday morning, but his wife kept asking him to get up. And he says, I just don't want to go to church today. People there don't even like me. Why would I want to go? And he says, no, you got to get up. We have to get ready and get to worship. He says, but I'm really tired. I had a long week. All these excuses just coming up. And he says, no, we have to get up. He says, I just want to sleep in. And finally she says, you have to get up. We're going to worship. If you don't go, who's going to preach? We all have our moments. But somehow, in the midst of the challenges and the frustrations and the struggles of life, we find a way to the very divine presence of God. And corporate worship allows for us to find a sense of meaning and purpose beyond our own. We know the importance of gratitude. You know, all these studies and everything we've been told about its effect on our mental, how our health benefits, our mental health, our physical, psychological, all of these things play into it. Improved mental health, it decreases levels of depression and anxiety. Enhanced relationships, expressing gratitude fosters stronger social bonds and deeper connections with others. Better sleep quality. Gratitude has this link of improved sleep quality. Can you imagine that? We also find that it reduces stress levels by shifting focus of worry and concern, and there's plenty of those. It shifts it for the moment in which we can just appreciate that there is more right with the world than wrong. Improved physical health. Studies show the gratitude is associated with better physical health outcomes. Lowers blood pressure. God knows I need to work on that. Reduces inflammation. Strengthens immune systems. It increases happiness. If gratitude were a pill, we'd be taking it, wouldn't we? So this morning we enter into this series of what gratitude and how it plays into our lives, the overall importance of it, finds itself also focusing in on how we experience worship itself. There's reasons to be grateful. And a lot of times the gratefulness starts with us and how we experience the benefits of it. But we know as we grow in our faith, as we mature, we start to see other people more and what impact it has to be with them and to worship with them. Today, our first lesson comes from Psalm 100, and for a lot of people, this is one of their favorites. And this psalm just calls us into that very presence. Five verses that the psalmist wrote to make sure we're engaging. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture.
Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him, bless his name, because the Lord is good. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation after generation. And then from James, from the letter, we are reminded of the benefits of life and where they come from. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his scripture. So we have this incredible opportunity to step into what benefits not only us, but enters us into the very presence of God, which has itself such a critical part of finding the rest and fullness and the character and the purpose of our souls. I love, make a joyful noise. For some of us, we're going, that's all I got. I got noise, but that's the best I can do, God. But God accepts that. Andrew's going to encourage us to consider the opportunities we have to worship.
Hey, friends. In Psalm 100, the Bible tells us that we are to make a joyful noise, that we are supposed to use this to praise God, and in fact, that we are to enter God's courts with thanksgiving. We get excited and we praise God because we are thankful for the things that God's done. Now, speaking of a joyful noise, have you ever heard this before? That is the sound of a hyena. Maybe you've heard that hyena's laugh. Well, what's not a laughing matter is sometimes they use that when hunting, and it can intimidate their prey. So maybe the hyena's laughing, making a joyful noise because he's about to eat. What about this noise? That is the noise of a dolphin. Dolphins make that chattering, laughing noise when they are play fighting with their friends. You know, when they're play fighting with their friends, that helps them to understand that there's no real danger and no real threat. So they're just having fun. Sometimes we need to determine when we're having fun and when we're not having fun, right? But these joyful noises are ways that the animals communicate. We communicate too. Sometimes it's through music, but sometimes it's through basically just telling people thank you, telling people we love them. There's lots of ways that we can give thanks and we can be happy for all the things that God has given us, all the opportunities that we have. Well, I hope that you will take some time to make some joyful noises to God and be thankful for all that God has done for you. Take care.
Trying to figure out what the cricket sound was at the end there, but that's all right. Pastor Andrew has a good word for us. And what is it that we encounter God and live into with a life of gratitude and celebration, and certainly how it affects our way to worship? Overall, gratitude and worship serves as a powerful reminder of the importance of acknowledging blessings, cultivating resilience, fostering compassion, working towards a more just and equitable world, even in the face of injustice. It is a testament to the transformative power that we can encounter that gratitude inspires us to positive action, promoting healing and reconciliation in the midst of adversity. That whole sense of worship centered in gratitude and celebration has incredible impact upon our lives. When we look at the psalm, those five verses, I encourage you to read through that even this afternoon as you get home or in places you get an opportunity to read them. The first two verses were just called to shout triumphantly. We're called to adapt an attitude of joy. But notice that it also talks about serve the Lord with celebration. There's this connection of doing and being mindful of the others who are around us, not only in worship, but also in daily life and family and work and opportunities in the community. And certainly we're sensitive to those who are suffering from being oppressed or marginalized. So that is a part of worship, is the sense of service, gratitude that lifts up those around us. Verse 3 reminds us why we do it, because God has made us. We belong to God.
We are God's people. We are God's children. We're the sheep of God's pasture. And it's not just you and I, but it's all of humanity that God calls and loves and cares for. There is something to celebrate instead of focusing on division or how we're different, but finding in the difference opportunity to celebrate. Talks in verse 4, enters gates with thanksgiving, his courts with yards with praise, his sense of location. And I do think there's a blessing around gathering in sacred spaces to celebrate God's presence and to do it with a community of faith. There's meaning and purpose in it. And I know that when we've gone through the pandemic, it was times of isolation, separation, and it was tough on us. And some people are still having to be careful about it. So I get that. And my prayer is that we'll find opportunities to enter into community with each other when opportunities arise. And why is that? Verse 5. Because God is good. The why centers on, and God's loyal and steadfastness. God's faithfulness to all generations. There's reason to rejoice. Sometimes we just get caught up in that and we forget the importance of rejoicing and celebrating. It engages to celebrate God's very presence and inspires us and comforts and heals and nurtures us. Praise is thanksgiving. Worship is being truly present when we enter into worship. And maybe that's something we could work on too when we come for worship. I get it. Sometimes we're either struggling with children or we got a call from our parents or we're dealing with whatever. And it's tough. You get into the sanctuary and a lot of stuff is just buzzing in our hearts and our spirits. It's hard to settle in. And that's why preparation for worship is important for you. And releasing the stuff that gets in the way of our being present here or present online. Opportunities for us to release, to breathe, to exhale the stuff, the anxiety, the hurt, and inhale the grace, forgiveness, and hope. And maybe just that soft prayer, God, help me be fully present for you today. What might you teach me? What might you heal in me? What might you forgive me for? What might you do to encourage me? What might you do to hear the joy that's in my life that I want to share today? I couldn't wait to get to worship to thank you for the blessings in my life. Entering into worship is an opportunity to settle into a sense of God's presence. But it's hard, right? When there's so much misery and hurt in the world. Some of us probably feel guilty. I can't be celebrative. I can't go in with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude because there's so much hurt. And I just feel phony when I come in and try to worship in that way. I came across a YouTube TED Talk by Dwight Jones, who's a National Geographic photographer. If you ever get a chance to see it, he talks about celebrate what's right in the world. And as a photographer, National Geographic commissioned him to go out and celebrate what's right in the world because there's so much wallowing in what's wrong and we're missing what's right. And so he says this, our vision controls our perspective and our perspective becomes our reality. Our vision, what we see, controls our perception of what is true. And then our perception becomes a reality. Now, this can be a beautiful opportunity for healing and vision and moving forward, but sometimes it's the exact opposite. We get in toxic situations. We're hearing mantras that just separate us and divide us and diminish us. And that perception becomes a reality that is not from God, not intended for us to live fully into, and becomes a block, a hindrance to us entering into the courts of God with praise and thanksgiving. It doesn't diminish our capacity to make a difference in the world where there's hurt and loss, but worship and thanksgiving and gratitude become the fuel that allows us to gain a perception that creates a new reality that's being revealed to us, that we can be agents of hope and promise. But it's difficult for us to be agents of that hope when we're so caught up in the hurt and the pain only. We don't have those moments of setting aside to say, God, I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for all, not only what you are doing, but what can happen. What are the new possibilities? What could be the new reality? And how can my faith enter into the process of healing for the world? for myself. So we ask ourselves, what is our worldview? Maybe we feel like, you know, it's just a jungle out there. Jones talks about the quote from "Second place is the first loser concept of life." And we've got this all, nobody quite matches up. We all fall short, and there's hurt and division. But somehow I pray that we can get a vision from God that starts giving us a new perception, and that perception of grace and mercy and healing and hope can head us to a new reality, the kingdom of God. Sometimes this photographer talks about how nature showed beauty and possibility, and how important it was for him to gain a compassionate way to embrace the world, to choose the possibilities, regardless how bleak. He talked about taking photographs when it was raining or muggy and the challenges, and then he would show his amazing photography of creating this beauty in the midst of the challenge because he had a lens of celebration to guide him. I asked Craig Walker to throw some slides together. A great photographer, and just allow us, let your mind eye just envision these pictures, both of the gift of this earth we've been given and the people that surround us. Maybe a moment we can celebrate all that's good with the lens of celebration, with the lens of the love of Christ. He would often come in a situation, he'd say, what's right in this situation? What lens can I look into to see the possibilities? And nature reminds us that there's an infinite number of ways to see and to view, to appreciate. I mean, sometimes we can just be walking down the sidewalk right here in Whitefish Bay. Maybe we're carrying a lot of struggle or hurt or pain or whatever it is. Just pause for a moment. Just look down even at a blade of grass and just go, wow, what a gift. Thank you. Help me see all that's good in life. I know there's enough difficulty and challenge. But out of that vision of celebration comes a source of love and appreciation, and it increases our ability and our energy to be agents of grace and love in the world. It gives us a passion, and that's what's so important about correcting that as all that is wrong, is that it infills within us the sense of purpose. But that's what extraordinary visions do for us. They release passion. I was excited to work with leadership on Saturday. We had a visioning workshop, and we're just celebrating where this church has been and where it is today, and where is God's preferred future for us. There's challenges, and we're all aware of them. Of reaching so many that have just not found their way to meaning in the life of a church. What do we have to offer? Who are we? What is God calling us to do? What are the possibilities? How do we do it in such a way as that the community around us says, ah, there is goodness. There's hope. There's healing. There's community. There's opportunity for our lives. It just created passion and energy as we went through that. And a very true for our own lives as we look and see. When we take a moment to pause and say, what is here to celebrate? What can I fall in love with anew again today? Finding out what's right in the situation draws us. It doesn't take us away again from the pain and the hurt, the realities around us. It allows us to be energized, to be agents of reconciliation and hope and healing and voices for the marginalized. It sees the possibilities. And it begins to allow that possibility to be realized through faith. He quotes Michelangelo when he says, I saw an angel in this stone and carved it to set it free. I saw an angel in this stone and carved to set it free. It's not easy, not simple, but we can simply choose to be agents of setting free everyday choices. The situation, the challenges we face, sometimes we need to change the lens that we might see our lives changed. And the psalmist is reminding us today, there is great joy to celebrate. And James reminds us that in the circumstances of life that God provides these gifts, and we're called to be stewards of them. And being appreciative of what we have in each other and the blessings that surround us. Seeing the good that is here and emphasizing that as a source of God's goodness being revealed to us. We recognize God's generosity. It leads us to be grateful in response. And then we want to reflect the image of God by our generosity and our time, our talents, our gifts, our prayers, our service, our witness. James tells us that God's generosity is consistent through generations. It's not fleeting. It's not determined on circumstances. But in all situations, there's an opportunity to see how gratitude can overcome the darkness, that we can see the light, and the lens of celebration can give us hope. This sense of seeing God and celebrating God's gifts to us leads us just to be responsible stewards of all that God has given us and underscores our responsibility to use what we have wisely. It prompts us to be blessings to others, to use our gifts and resources in ways that honor God and benefits others, demonstrating gratitude through our actions and our service. Every good and perfect gift that God has given, may God be honored through it. So the invitation is for us and how we as a church continue to see opportunity. We know there's darkness and we aren't going to ignore it. But our energy and our passion comes from the goodness of God. And the opportunity to be grateful for what we can see that's good. So that light and that love can diminish the darkness. I want to read Psalm 100 again, this time from the Message. And just invite you to receive the call and the opportunity we have. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into God's presence. Know this, God is God. And God, He made us. We didn't make Him. We're God's people, God's well-tended sheep. Enter with the password. Thank you. Make yourself at home, talking praise. Thank God, worship God, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever. As we prepare for the celebration of communion, I'd remind us of the gift of love and the passion that is given through this meal. We went through the Passion Week, and we're mindful of how the crucifixion, the unjust act against Christ, humanity's response to God divided both body and blood. And yet this table that Jesus calls us to, not only do we remember what Christ has done, that death and hatred and rejection is not the last word, but resurrection and hope and promise is. We remember, but we also, in a way, through body and blood, we remember the body of Christ in us, in you and me. We remember the presence of God in the needs of the world and in celebration and blessing. We become the activity of redemption and healing and hope. The world is hungry and crying. And what should we be in response? But a community of faith, grateful for the blessings, and agents of service into a world in need. May God be honored in how we respond to God's grace. Let us pray. Holy God, as we remember and remember your presence through the sacred act of Holy Communion, be present in us. Guide us wherever we're at. Maybe we're in doubt. Maybe we're struggling. Maybe we're wondering, how do we become agents of grace in a world so filled with division and hatred and personal preference that diminishes people around us? Help us be. Help us see. Help us put on the lens of celebration of who you are and your commitment to us, even to the point of the cross, but certainly the point of resurrected hope. Guide us through the celebration of all that you are, Holy God, in this moment of Holy Communion. In Jesus the Christ, we pray and we seek to live. Amen.